Over 100 water users and community members are packed into the Pooncarry Hall to hear from New South Wales DPI Water. Many are calling for grants to build bores, move stock and buy in water. They're also calling for an embargo on water upstream so it can eventually flow through to the Menindee Lakes and then be released into the Lower Darling. New South Wales DPI Water said this isn't possible because at the moment there aren't any inflows. For grazier Kat McBride, the meeting was a disappointment.
It was a really tough meeting. The community has a lot of real justified concerns about what is happening here. And this is the first opportunity in 14 months that we've had anyone from the department prepared to listen. So it was a really positive start that this is the first entrance into proper communication. And what we need to see now is ongoing communication, but not only communication, but also consultation.
There was a small concession though made that it's a combination of factors, including the management of the system, that has contributed to this. Is that a relief? And do you think that's a point where you guys can move from now when it comes to asking for things like grants?
I mean, it was a pretty damn small concession of the fact that it's not just drought. This actually isn't a drought issue. The catchment over the last 12 months has had an average rainfall. It's very easy to say that in front of this audience, but it actually has to be the message that gets out, gets in front of the politicians, that this isn't a drought issue. It's not a climatic issue. This is an issue about too much water coming out of the system.
So something that was talked about as well was grants, not funds, grants for some assistance measures. What are those sort of things that you guys would like to see around this area?
We're forking out a hell of a lot as a region, as a community, to make sure that we can survive this disaster, which is man-made. And we actually need financial support to make sure that it's not coming out of our pockets.
That was Kat McBride from Tolarno Station. For Murray Davies, the cost of managing the Darling has already been high. He still has some water held up by a block bank at his property, but he has real fears about the future of permanent plantings along the Darling.
The water on the river has got to the stage now we can't use it. We're using it through our air conditioner in the house, and it destroyed the air conditioners, and so we had to put reverse cycle on, which all cost money. We then couldn't use the water in the house for the showering, so we had to buy two tanks plus all the fittings. We're running mainly cattle, and we got 700 of them, and they all drink water that's pumped out from the Darling. And you can tell that they're not doing as well on it as what they would if it was fresh water. So our vines, we were able to get with our block bank, allowed us to get our vines through to harvest. But due to the uncertainty about water, we had to cut back on the inputs, which reduced our yields by a third. So we're about 1,500 tonnes short of what we should have grown. So it's a big cost. The citrus trees, they're dying. So it's pretty sad affair, really. But I'd like to think that they're learning lessons from the meeting, as well, the Gavin Hannon has learnt some lesson or is understanding that the management has to be different.
New South Wales DPI Water Deputy Director Gavin Hanlon says he will take away from the meeting the need to communicate better with water users. He says the states are working together to more effectively manage the river system.
I think we've got to separate the short and long-term things here. So the short-term stuff I heard today was very much around communications, making sure the mechanisms and assistance programs that are already there are well understood and made available and clear, and medium-term things like embargoes up and down the river as needed. And then the longer-term side of things is those broader cross-state conversations. I think you've got to break it down into those sort of three time periods, if you like, for us to be able to put it into a bit of context.
There was a comment that you made today when it came back to the issue of, is this drought, is this record low inflows, is this a management issue? By saying it's a combination of factors, the management of the river system is also contributing to the fact that the Darling is dry?
Oh, you know, I think what I was trying to get across here is you can't point the finger at any one issue for why we're where we are today. Certainly record inflows is a very major contributor. Certainly the way the rules we have in hindsight can either be seen to be helping us get to where we are, and things could have been much worse earlier without them. But could those rules be even better? Well, you know, based on what I've heard today, you'd have to say the community here certainly thinks those rules can be better.
But if the management of the river is a contributing factor, whether it be a major one or a minor one, surely that actually gives a lot of the landholders around here the right to campaign even harder for grants, because it's not necessarily nature's fault that the river has gone dry.
Well, I think, you know, there's a lot of discretion in the way rivers are operated. And hindsight's the only way you'll ever know whether the discretion is right or wrong. The water sharing plans and rules allow for some of those discretionary decisions. So I guess, you know, you've got to weigh all those things up and saying, you know, there's a reason why we're where we are today, and it's not just one thing.